So I will start with some background on gonorrhea surveillance in California. The state uses the same gonorrhea case definition used by the CDC, which includes any written morbidity report submitted by a physician. In addition, a case is excluded if that same person had a previous gonorrhea diagnosis within the previous 30 days. We do base our reporting on a passive system in which providers are required to, but do not always, submit a confidential morbidity report, or CMR. And labs also are required to, but do not always, submit a lab report. The variables on these two different types of reports do differ, with labs not reporting data on race, ethnicity, or treatment data, and often lab reports contain inadequate case contact information. And I'll move on to some background on gonorrhea rates in the state. Rates in California declined from the late 1970s until they started to rise in 2000, and causes for these increases are not yet fully understood. And since 2004, more than 30,000 cases have been reported annually in the state. Insufficient disease intervention specialist resources are in place to follow up with all of these cases. And in order to better understand risk factors associated with increasing rates of gonorrhea, improvements were determined to be needed to California case-based gonorrhea surveillance in the following areas. CMR surveillance collects only a small set of basic demographic variables, and these data are not adequate to describe factors associated with changing trends. Incomplete data are reported on treatment, and no behavioral data are collected on number and gender of sex partners, drug use, and other risk factors. Therefore, the California gonorrhea surveillance system was developed with the following characteristics in mind and implemented statewide in January 2007. Ongoing data collection provides trend data on risk factors, and a sustainable workload is maintained for our local partners through the use of a random sampling scheme. And relevant risk factor information is collected that can lead to programmatic action. Since this is a fairly new system, I'm going to focus primarily on methods for the rest of the talk, although I will provide some results at the end. The data collection tool developed for this system is the Case Investigation Record, or CIR. And that is administered either by local public health staff or by state DIS. It has two main components, the provider report form, which collects data on symptom status, specimen source, and treatment. And it was designed to be used primarily as a fax back form, but alternately it can be completed through telephone interview with a provider or through direct chart review. And the second main component is the patient interview form, which collects detailed demographic information as well as data on sexual behaviors, drug use, and venues used to meet new or anonymous sex partners. And this interview is typically conducted over the telephone, but it can be done in person. And for case selection, our goal was to follow up with 10% of reported gonorrhea cases. In order to achieve this, we gave jurisdictions the option of choosing between two sampling frames, either a 10% random sample or follow up with 100% of their reported cases. And this achieved two things. It allows jurisdictions to tailor their participation to their local capacity, and it also allows for local analysis where that's desired. Because of this complex sampling frame, data were weighted for analysis. And after analysis, results are sent to our stakeholders quarterly. We also do provide line-list data to jurisdictions who want to do their own analyses. So this flowchart will show the case selection and flow of data, and 27 of our jurisdictions out of 61 in the state elected to participate at the 100% follow-up level. And these are typically smaller, more rural jurisdictions and account for about 5% of the reported cases annually in the state. And so the case selection starts at the time that either a provider or a lab reports positive gonorrhea to the local health jurisdiction. At that time, they initiate a case investigation record and initiate patient and provider follow-up. For the 34 jurisdictions that elected to participate in the 10% sample, after they receive a report of gonorrhea from a provider or lab, they send that case report to the state, and we do a weekly random sample at the state from all newly reported cases. And at that point, we generate pre-populated case investigation records, which contain case contact information and provider data, and send those to the jurisdictions using encrypted secure email. Once they receive that transmission, they initiate the case investigation record and begin patient and provider follow-up. For all jurisdictions, we allow an 8-week interview window during which we require 8 contact attempts, 2 on evenings and 2 on the weekend. And once that 8-week window closes, they close out the case investigation record, assign a final disposition, and mail the form to the state using confidential mailing procedures, at which point the data is entered and analyzed, and we do return those results locally to the local jurisdictions. So we do provide feedback to jurisdictions on a monthly basis on timeliness of reporting, which is essential for allowing as much time as possible to contact and interview the case. Also on number of forms completed and local response rates. And for quality control, demographics of sampled and interviewed cases are compared with those of all reported cases in the state. So this shows the flow of cases through the system from January 1st, 2007 to September 30th. We had roughly 24,000 cases reported to the state during that time, 1,355 of which were in jurisdictions following up with all of their gonorrhea cases, and 2,905 cases which were sampled from the jurisdictions participating at the 10% level. And this relatively well-balanced number of cases from small versus large jurisdictions exhibits the efficiency of the sampling scheme and also allows for greater estimate precision and the ability to do analysis at the local level. So then among the cases for which a form was received at the state that were eligible for interview, 805 interviews were completed in the jurisdictions at the 100% level, and 1,230 were completed at the 10% level. And this resulted in an overall response rate of 61.4%. The response rates were slightly higher among jurisdictions following up with all of their cases. And although our target response rate is 80% for the system, that's been improving as jurisdictions have become more comfortable and familiar with this process. Main reasons for non-interview were lack of adequate case contact information and case non-response within the 8-week window. However, once contacted, cooperation was very high at a rate of 91.3%. And I do want to add that regardless of whether the case was contacted or interviewed, we still tried to collect the provider data, so we do have those variables for analysis. So now I'll move on to some of the results from the first 9 months of data collection. This shows gender and sexual orientation by region in the state. And as you can see, only 8.1% of Northern California cases were self-reported as men who have sex with men, which is quite different from the 22.2% we see in Southern California and 78.7% in San Francisco. And these data are very important for understanding the local epidemiology of gonorrhea in the different geographic areas and also for intervention planning. And I also want to point out that all of these data are weighted, as I discussed earlier. So we also analyzed some selected risk characteristics, and we did find that some of our results were consistent with results seen in other sources. In particular, greater internet use to meet new or anonymous sex partners was reported by men who have sex with men, and higher proportions of incarceration in the past 12 months was reported among heterosexual men and women. And a nice facet of the system is that because of the detailed variables we collect, we can conduct analysis stratified at a very detailed level. So reported meth use varied by sexual orientation and race ethnicity, as you can see here, with among men who have sex with men, 20.7% of white cases reported meth use, But when we look at heterosexuals, it's a very different picture, with only 3.6% of African-American heterosexual men reporting meth use in the past 12 months, and 1.6% of African-American heterosexual women. And again, these data help us to with intervention planning. And finally, we did an analysis of HIV co-infection among our interviewed gonorrhea cases. The majority of HIV co-infected cases were among men who have sex with men, in fact, all but one. And they had a rate of HIV positivity of 27.4%. And another issue that's been very important in California are changes to treatment guidelines in response to the emergence of fluoroquinolone-resistant gonorrhea. And this table shows, in the left two columns, the volume and proportion of cases seen in the state at different settings of diagnosis. And then the right column shows the proportion of cases within each setting that were treated inadequately with only a fluoroquinolone. And you can see that the majority of cases were seen by private physicians or through an HMO. And a very high percent, 7% of those cases were treated with only a fluoroquinolone. And other settings where high fluoroquinolone use was reported is among in emergency rooms and urgent care clinics. And so that was an overall proportion or percent of almost 4% of California cases that were interviewed through the system that were inadequately treated. And this really gives us great data on where to target our educational efforts for our providers to inform them of current treatment guidelines. So in summary, sample-based surveillance in California has been an efficient means to gather important data, especially in our case when the total volume of morbidity precludes follow-up with all cases. And the use of telephone-based interviews and fax-back forms have allowed even greater efficiency and compliance. Our data have yielded valuable guidance on targeted interventions for disease prevention and for provider education. And there have been some bumps in the road. It was the first year of the system in 2007. Reporting delays and inadequate case contact information contributed to the lower than desired response rates. In addition, because STD control efforts in California historically have focused on syphilis control, competing priorities for STD follow-up have caused challenges in resource allocations. And in addition, because of this focus on syphilis control, some field staff are unaccustomed to this interview style, which focuses on an interview with data collection as opposed to case management exclusively. And finally, we are working to improve data completeness, both in patient and provider reported variables. And here's my contact information. Please feel free to contact me. I'd also like to acknowledge our many local program partners that have been on the field collecting this data, and also state DIS staff and managers. And our project data manager, Denise Gilson, with the California Department of Public Health, and her expertise and patience are essential to the continued success of this program, and also the CDC OASIS project.